The Red Dwarf ship trundles heavily through space. Different clips of the characters, aliens, and disastrous situations they get into. Red Dwarf, written by Rob Grant and Doug Naylor. White Hole. Boot up sequence initiated. Artificial intelligence system K177. Machine ident, Talkie Toaster. Manufacturer, Crapola Inc. Taiwan. Recommended retail price, $19.99 plus tax. Oral system, online.
Hello? Can you hear me? Oh, no, of course not. I haven't engaged your verbal systems.
Crichton! Crichton, what are you doing, man?
I've just repaired the toaster, sir. Well, I've nearly repaired the toaster.
Oh, no, man, dismantle him. You don't know what the little bleeder's like.
Well, I've read all the documentation, sir. He's simply a talking alarm clock who provides his owner with early morning toast and light conversation.
Not this one. This one's mental.
Sir?
He's defective. He wants everyone to eat toast all of the time. He's obsessed with it. And if you don't want to eat, like, 400 rounds of toast every hour, he throws a major wobbly. That's what caused the accident in the first place.
What accident?
The accident involving me, the toaster, the waste disposal, and a 14-pound lump hammer.
That explains why he was down in the garbage hole in 3,000 separate pieces.
And another thing, he always says howdy-doodly-do. Drives you spare? I mean, what the smeg does howdy-doodly-do mean?
Yeah, well, just trust me, sir. My motives will become clear.
Howdy-doodly-do. How's it going? I'm Talkie. Talkie Toaster, your chirpy breakfast companion. Talkie's the name, toasting's the game. Anyone like any toast?
Look, I don't want any toast, and he doesn't want any toast. In fact, no one around here wants any toast. Not now, not ever. No toast.
How about a muffin?
Or muffins. We don't like muffins round here. We want no muffins, no toast, no tea cakes, no buns, baps, baguettes or bagels, no croissants, no crumpets, no pancakes, no potato cakes, and no hot cross buns, and definitely no smeg and flapjacks.
Ah, so you're a waffle man.
See? You see what he's like? He winds me up, man. There's no reasoning with him.
If you'll allow me, sir, as one mechanical to another, he'll understand me. Now, you listen here. You will not offer any grilled bread products to any member of the crew. Now, if you do, you will be on the receiving end of a very large polo mallet.
Can I ask just one question?
Of course.
Would anyone like any toast?
Did you hear what I just said?
Yes, but I thought you might have changed your mind in the meantime.
You see what he's like?
We haven't changed our mind.
No toast!
But I'm a toaster. It is my raison d'etre. I toast, therefore I am. If you don't want any toast, why did you repair me,
Yeah, why did you repair him?
Well, he's a guinea pig for a technique called intelligence compression. His AI chips are very badly damaged in the accident.
Well, that was no accident. That was first-degree toaster side.
Look, just shoot your grill. Ow!
By rerouting his circuitry and channeling all his runtime through a single CPU, I've managed to restore his intelligence at the cost of reducing his operational lifespan.
So?
So if it works with him, it could work with Holly. We could restore her IQ of 6,000. She could be brilliant again.
You really think this can work? You really think that airhead of a computer can become a genius again?
Well, with no disrespect to Holly, sir, it can hardly make her worse.
Right. If we can just teach her to count without banging her head on the screen, it's gonna be an improvement.
Computer senility. It's such a weird condition.
I know. I had a mechanoid friend once who suffered from this same affliction. His name was Gilbert, but he preferred it if people called him Rameses Niblick III. Kerplunk, kerplunk, whoops, where's my thribble? A sad case.
Well, if you ask me, the Eskimos had the right idea. They knew how to handle the elderly and the permanently baffled. Middle of the night, they'd take them out into the blizzard, remove their pajamas, and just leave them to it.
And that's how the Eskimos cared for their old people?
Absolutely. That's why there's no Eskimo word for Eastbourne.
We can pull this off, man. If Holly can get her brains back, she'll be able to do anything. Invent a hyperdrive, get us back to Earth.
If Earth still exists. And if it does, it's very doubtful the human race will have survived.
All right, then, a time machine. She can invent a time machine and we could all pick whatever period in history we want to live in.
Well, it'll be the 19th century for me. one of Napoleon's marshals. The chance to march across Europe with the greatest general of all time and kill Belgians.
Marvelous. What about you, Crisis?
Well, if I could go anywhere, absolutely anywhere at all in time, I think I'd probably choose to go back to a week last Tuesday.
Why?
Don't you remember? I did all the laundry, and then we watched TV. Wow, we won't see the like of those sort of days again.
How long now?
Nearly there, Hall. Just a couple of minutes to load the circuits, and, I don't know, maybe a minute to finalise the connection.
She bangs her head.
That's just 3 minutes, then. Better get down to the science room.
We better pray to God this works. That ion storm has really done a head in, man.
There's the signal. Everything's set.
Well, let's just hope you don't get an overload.
What happens if I do get an overload?
You'll explode.
It's coming, I can feel it.
Electric tendrils surround Holly, who dissolves into tiny pieces. New IQ rating, 68. Holly returns, cross-eyed. New IQ rating, 12,368. Holly appears as a floating hologram with slicked back hair.
Light, I'm a genius again. I know everything. Metaphysics, philosophy, the purpose of being, everything. Ask me a question, any question, I'll answer it.
Any question?
Yes.
How to break the speed of light? How to marry quantum mechanics and classical physics? Any question at all? Truly anything, and you will answer?
Yes.
Okay, here's my question. Would you like some toast?
No, thank you. Now ask me another.
Do you know anything about the use of chaos theory in predicting weather cycles?
I know everything there is to know about chaos theory in predicting weather cycles.
Oh, very well. Here's my second question. Would you like a crumpet?
I'm a computer with an IQ of 12,000. You don't seem to understand. I know the meaning of the universe.
That is not answering my question.
No, I would not like a crumpet. Ask me a sensible question. Preferably one that isn't bread-related.
Very well. I have a third question. A sensible question. A question that will tax your new IQ to its very limits and stretch the sinews of your knowledge to bursting point.
This is going to be about waffles, isn't it?
Certainly not. And I resent the implication that I'm a one-dimensional, bread-obsessed electrical appliance.
I apologize, Toaster. What's the question?
The question is this. Given that God is infinite, and that the universe is also infinite, would you like a toasted tea cake?
That's another bready question.
It's not just bready, it's quite currenty, too.
Ask me a question that is wholly unbready and not even slightly currenty.
Okay. Why have you got an IQ of 12,000 when it was supposed to return and level out at 6?
Good question. There was a miscalculation. My IQ has doubled, but my life expectancy has been exponentially reduced.
So what is your life expectancy? 345 years? Well, it's better than a kick in the bread tray.
What's the decimal point?
You have only 3.41 years left to live?
That's not years, that's minutes. 3.41 minutes.
Well, here's my next question. What the smeg are you going to do?
In order to conserve my remaining runtime, I'm going to switch myself off.
Wait, before you go, there is one question, an important one. The others will have to know.
What? What?
Would you like a cheese and ham Breville?
Indication of signal failure. All these signs are excellent. I really believe we've done it.
What's happened?
What's going on?
Listen. Can anyone hear anything?
No.
Precisely. No one can hear anything. And you know why we can't hear anything?
Why?
Because there are no sounds to hear.
Crichton, isn't it round about this time of year that your head goes back to the lab for retuning?
No, no, he's right. There's no sounds because the engines are dead. We've lost all power. Everything's down, man. Even the doors.
We've got to get to the science room, find out what's happened.
But there are 53 doors between here and the science room. What on earth are we going to do?
Hey, I got it. We laser our way through.
Ah, an excellent suggestion, sir, with just two minor drawbacks. One, we don't have a power source for the lasers. And two, we don't have any lasers.
Look, they're only interior doors. They're only a light alloy. Maybe we could get through them if we use a battering ram. Or we need something, say, I don't know, 6 foot long, fairly sturdy with a flat top.
Crichton looks around nervously.
53 doors? You can't be serious.
Rimmer and Lister nod at him. Having been used as a battering ram, Crichton looks dazed.
You okay, man?
I'm fine, thank you, Susan.
It doesn't make sense. Holly seems to have offlined and powered down the ship.
Why? Why would she want to turn herself off?
You can soon find out. Crichton, boot her up.
Holly appears on the screen, then vanishes.
Try it again.
Go away.
What's going on? Give me voice control on the reboot command. On.
Off.
On.
Off.
On.
Off.
Crichton, is there any way we can override a shutdown veto?
There is, sir, but may I suggest that...
Don't, just do it. On.
Off. Off. Off!
Now then, perhaps we can have a proper conversation conducted in a civilized and dignified manner.
Take out the inhibitor, switch me back off.
What is going on?
No time to explain. Intelligence compressed, reduced lifespan, 2.35 remaining.
Come again?
IQ 12,000, 2 minutes and closing.
Holly, I haven't the slightest clue what you're drivelling about.
You're a total smeghead, aren't you, Rimmer? Why are you so unable to grasp this extraordinarily simple premise?
What premise?
The premise that I'm about to expire in just under 2 minutes. Understand, moose brain? Any further questions? Take your time. 1 minute 30 and counting. No rush.
My God, that's terrible. Hadn't we better switch you off?
Oh, I don't know. Let me see now.
Get it off, man! Get it off! Great. So where does this leave us?
Leaves us floating aimlessly in space, with no navigation and a rapidly diminishing emergency power supply. It leaves us galloping up Diarrhea Drive without a saddle.
So how come Grand Canyon Nostrils are still here?
Look, it hasn't been wiped.
Holly must have linked him up to the emergency power supply.
But isn't that an enormous drain?
Yes, but if we switch off his projection unit, we wouldn't have enough emergency power to reinitialize him. Mr. Rimmer would be effectively dead.
Hey, things are looking up already.
Forget it. Whatever it is you're suggesting, forget it.
But the entire ship is running on emergency battery power only. With the oxygen recycler and minimal heating and lighting, I estimate that Lister and the cat have approximately 2 months left. Without your drain on the power, they might last six. I'm sorry, sir.
Sorry? Why are you sorry?
Well, the Space Corps Directive 195 clearly states that in an emergency power situation, a hologrammatic crew member must lay down his life in order that the living crew members might survive.
Come on, man, you gotta sacrifice your life. I'm not asking you to do anything I wouldn't do.
You? You'd sacrifice your life for the good of the crew?
No, I'd sacrifice your life for the good of the crew.
I beg you to reconsider, sir. Human history is resplendent with examples of such sacrifice. Remember Captain Oates? I'm going out for a walk. I may be some time.
Yes, but the thing is about Captain Oates. The thing you have to remember about Captain Oates. Captain Oates was a prat. If that had been me, I'd have stayed in the tent and whacked Scott over the head with a frozen husky. And then eaten him.
Two, wouldn't you?
History, Lister, is written by the winners. How do we know that Oates went out for this legendary walk? From the only surviving document, Scott's diary. And he's hardly likely to have written down February the 1st, bludgeoned Oates to death while he slept, then scoffed him along with the last packet of instant mash. How's that going to look when he gets rescued, eh? No, much better to say, Oates made the supreme sacrifice while you're dabbing up his gravy with the last piece of crusty bread.
You've got no magnificence in your soul, have you, Rimmer?
Let's just say we can eliminate the switch-off option.
So what do we do now?
Well, it's back to basics. We've got no heat, no light, no power. We can't get any food out of the dispensing machines. We're going to have to scavenge what we can find on the cargo decks. Without computers and technology, we reduce the level of primitives. All we've got is us guys. Us and our own resourcefulness.
My God, it's worse than I thought.
Lister's frantically pedaling an exercise bike as Cat taps a hairdryer.
Come on, you're slowing down.
I've been doing it for 20 minutes, of course I'm slowing down.
Well, keep going, buddy, we're nearly there.
Look, face it, man, it's just not possible to fry an egg using a bicycle-powered hairdryer.
Sure it is, it's just you never pedal fast enough. Come on, keep pumping, one last try.
Yeah, we're cooking now. How do you want yours, permed or blow-dried?
I can't go on, man. I'm finished.
So what are you saying? We're back on the cold beans again?
Oh, not more beans, man. This place is beginning to smell like the inside of a packet of dry roasted peanuts.
Plus, we're going to have to spend another 20 minutes sawing the lid off the can because all the openers are electric.
Everything on the smegging ship's electric, man. Heat, light, stores. I never realized how dependent we were. I never realized how little I know. I just plug things in walls and press the on button. I don't even know how to make oxygen. All I know is it's got something to do with plants and it ends in osis. Or is it esis? I don't know. Why did I never pay attention in biology class? Why did I always turn to page 47 and start drawing little beards and moustaches on the sperms?
Just conserve your energy. Stan and Ollie will soon be back with supplies. Meanwhile, let's just stay warm and get some sleep.
Yeah, man, you're right.
Hey, where are you going, bud?
Get some sleep.
It's Tuesday, right?
Yeah, so?
My turn on the electric blanket. Pedal. Wake me in 8 hours.
Mister gets pedaling.
5 days to get to and from the cargo deck. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's 2,000 floors, sir. Without the lifts, we've made pretty good time.
They both disintegrate, then reform.
Interesting.
Stepping to the other side of the corridor, Crichton's body widens.
My heavens! What on earth was that?
I think it came from outside the ship. Are you okay? Is there any way we can get a damage report? What's going on?
Why are you speaking so quickly, sir?
I'm not speaking quickly. I'm speaking perfectly normally. It's you. You're speaking too slowly. It's like having a conversation with Paul Robeson on dope.
Crichton steps back over to him.
How do I sound now?
Normal. How do I sound?
Likewise.
Rimmer moves to the other side of the corridor.
What about from over here?
You sound very peculiar indeed, sir. In fact, you sound as if you're speaking in slow motion.
Crichton joins him on the slow side.
And now?
Normal. Curious. It's as though we're experiencing relative time dilation in an amazingly compressed space.
That's exactly what I thought. Relative time dilation, I thought, in an amazingly compressed space. You're a mind reader, Crichton.
I think we should go up to the science room and consult Holly. It's only 2 floors up.
But she's got less than 2 minutes of runtime left.
With her new IQ, it could be enough.
A white light surrounded by a turquoise nebula.
So what is it?
I've never seen one before. No one has, but I'm guessing it's a white hole.
A white hole?
Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. A black hole sucks time and matter out of the universe. A white hole returns it.
Is that thing spewing time back into the universe?
Precisely. That's why we're experiencing these curious time phenomena on board.
So what is it?
I've never seen one before. No one has, but I'm guessing it's a white hole.
A white hole?
Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. A black hole sucks time and matter out of the universe. A white hole returns it.
Is that thing spewing time back into the universe?
Precisely. That's why we're experiencing these curious time phenomena on board.
What time phenomenon?
Like just then, when time repeated itself.
So what is it?
Only joking. Okay, so it's decided then. We consult Holly.
Hey, wait a minute. I missed a discussion.
We all did.
Time is occurring in random pockets. The laws of causality no longer apply. An action no longer leads to a consequence.
So what is it?
I think we've experienced this period of time before, sir.
Only joking.
And that one. Since we're no longer affected by the laws of causality, we can override these time jumps if we concentrate.
Look, the only way out of this is to consult Holly.
I'll go with that.
It gets my vote.
Okay, so it's decided then. We consult Holly.
Ah, I think we've just encountered the middle of this conversation.
So what is it?
Oh, someone punch him out.
She only has 2 minutes left. Perhaps I should talk to her.
Leave this to me, Crichton. On. White hole spewing time, engines dead, air supply low, advice please.
Excuse me?
White hole spewing time, engines dead,
I can't understand a word you're saying.
White?
Yes.
Hole?
Right.
Spewing?
Yes.
Time?
With you.
Engines dead?
Oh.
Air supply low? Advice please.
Right.
It's a computer slug. From the format, it looks like it's compatible with Starbug's Navicom.
So what is it?
I've never seen one before. No one has, but I'm guessing it's a white hole.
A white hole. Every action has to be quiet.
In Starbug's cargo bay, Crichton inserts a computer slug into the Navicom, creating a holographic solar system.
You should be getting something now, sir.
Yeah.
It's the most audacious piece of astronavigation in the entire history of the universe.
I don't understand.
It's quite straightforward, sir. Starbug is going to fire a thermonuclear device into this sun here, creating a solar flare which is going to knock that planet out of orbit and send it rocketing across space and into a white hole, presumably blocking it up.
Let me get this straight. Is she doing what I think she's doing?
Why, what do you think she's doing?
Playing pool with planets.
Is that possible?
Well, it's not going to work. It's completely insane. It's wacko. It's noodle doodle.
I'm with you, buddy.
No, not the idea, the shot. There's not enough side. Yeah, side spin. It's a complete miscue.
What are you drivelling about, Lister? We're talking about a computer with an IQ in excess of 12,000.
Doesn't mean she can play pool. I can. Trust me, I know whereof I speak. Egbert Arms on a Friday night used to call me Dave Cinzano Bianco Lister. Because once I was on the table, you couldn't get rid of me. This pool arm is as sound as a dollar pound, and I promise you, that shot will not come off. She's topped it. That's what she's done. She's topped it. It's a felt ripper. That planet is off the table into somebody's pint of beer.
We are talking about the trigonomics of four-dimensional space, you simple-minded gimboid. We are not talking about some seedy game of pool in a backstreet scout drinking pit.
It's the same principle.
Of course it isn't.
Remember, I promise you, that is a complete miscue. I say we should call his coordinates in the bin and let me take the shot.
Well, I say we put it to the vote. On one hand, we have a computer with an IQ in excess of 12,000 who has a total grasp of astrophysics. And on the other hand, we have Lister, who, and let's be fair to him, is a complete gimp. To whom do we entrust our lives, the safety of this vessel, and the future of everything? If it's a tie, we go with Holly. What's your vote, Lister?
Well, I vote for Dave Cinzano Bianco Lister.
1-0 to Listy Poos. I vote for Holly, Cat.
Well, I agree with you, buddy, but I'm voting for Doodoo Breath. The thing is, even though you're right, I could not bring myself to vote for someone with your dress sense. I couldn't put my cross next to the Bri Nylon Party.
Down to you, Crichton.
Well, I agree it's insane and suicidal, sir, but I'm afraid I have to side with the human.
Brutal.
You're voting for El Dirtball.
It's in my programming, sir. A living human outranks a hologram. I'm sorry.
3-1 to me. Let's do it.
Congratulations, Crichton. Your vote has just killed everyone.
Will you relax? I've seen Gerbil Face play down in a recreation room. He's a diva. He can knock those stripy balls around the table all night long. And I tell you what, I've never once seen him lose a single ball down one of those holes.
Starbug flies out of Red Dwarf's hangar bay. Holding a light gun with a long, thin barrel resembling a pool cue, Lister takes a swig from a can of lager.
How many of those are you going to drink?
I told you not to talk. Game on.
You're going to drink an entire six-pack of Wicked Strength lager.
I'm not going to get blasted, Rimmer. Just nicely drunk.
Define nicely drunk. Is nicely drunk horizontal or perpendicular?
Rimmer, I can handle it.
I'm not sure I can.
We're in the wrong position. It's an easier shot if we were over here.
But that's right in the orbital path of the planet. If you miss, we're going to get a planet in the face.
I'm not going to mish.
Mish?
What?
You said mish. I'm not going to mish, you said. You've only had two cans and you're steaming.
Remember, you relax. I know what I'm doing. I am not pished.
Rimmer looks exasperated. Pointing his gun at a table displaying a graphical representation of the solar system, Lister imagines himself in a black and white pool hall. He sticks his cigarette in his ear to take the shot. Holding the gun like a cue, he looks down the barrel and weighs up the shot. The pool hall Lister strikes the cue ball, and the one aboard Starbug pulls the trigger. A solar flare blasts a blue planet out of orbit.
He's missed.
We're finished.
The blue planet collides with a red one, which in turn knocks a green planet out of its own orbit.
What the smeg is going on?
she right!
The green planet plugs the white hole, which collapses into nothing.
You jammy goit.
Played for and got.
Oh, surely not, sir.
Are you trying to say that was a trick shot? Intended. Pool god, king of the Qs, prince of the planet Potters.
Here, what's going on? Where are we? What happened to that plan to make me brilliant again?
Of course. Blocking up the white hole has eradicated its influence. The time it spewed into the universe no longer exists.
Meaning?
Well, basically, we occupy a redundant timeline. Reviving the toaster, making Holly a genius. None of this is going to have happened.
What about us? Are we just going to pop out of existence? Just going to cease to be?
We will cease to be here, because none of this will have occurred. But we will exist back on Red Dwarf, before all this began. With, of course, no memory of these events. Which, of course, never happened. And as these events never happened, we'll have no memory of them. In which case, Mr. Rimmer, sir, I should like to take this opportunity of saying that you are the most obnoxious, trumped-up, farty little smeghead it has ever been my misfortune to encounter.